Welcome to Feminist Mormon Housewives. I'm your host, Cammie. We are continuing our Now series, Narrating Ordained Women. I have with me Katie Henderson, who has posted her profile on ordainedwomen.org. And we're going to talk a little bit about why she did and about her story. Katie, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure, thanks. My name is Katie Henderson, and I live in Odenton, Maryland. I have a master's degree in human dimensions of ecosystem science. I'm a musician, a traveler, and I believe in ordaining women to the priesthood.
And tell us a little bit about, are you married? Where did you get your degree? And your history in the church?
Sure. I'm married. I've been married for 6.5 years. We met while undergraduate students at Utah State. He hit on me at Smith's grocery store in Logan, Utah. It was love at first sight. We started making travel plans together immediately. And then after we got married, we started traveling a lot together. And that remains our favorite thing to do, which is harder now that we're not in school. But my history with the church is I'm a lifelong member. My parents were kind of the token liberal family always growing up. They were both Sunstone folks. My mom has published a lot of stuff in Sunstone, and my dad, I think, has, I know for sure he published one Sunstone article. But my mom got breast cancer in 1987 and passed away in 1997. And so my experience in the church is shaped both by their worldview and by the passing of my mom and her legacy as a faithful but dissident daughter of the church. Wow. And it's definitely shaped my view on things. As far as, you know, feminism, I started going through and learning more about feminism in, you know, the greater secular American culture, and then started questioning where all of these ideas fit within my Mormon worldview. And that's what led me to Feminist Mormon Housewives and some of the other online Mormon spaces for feminists. And that was my lifeline to the church for a long time, as I started learning a lot more about our history and a lot more. And I started becoming more willing to honestly look at our cultural and doctrinal problems as I see them with regard to gender in the church. So I served a mission, I did all that stuff, and right now we're probably semi-active. We're active according to the once-a-month rule, I guess. But I do definitely have to kind of do church on my own terms. It's something that I'm, it's a daily negotiation for how I can engage with the church as far as being there and being a church and all of that. So, online Mormon feminism and now ordained women has been a retention effort for me in keeping me engaged and keeping me excited about the church.
Right. Right. And you said that you served a mission. Where did you serve?
I served in Durban, South Africa in 2006, 2007.
Wow. What language did you speak there? Just
English. It was an English speaking mission, but I did learn a little bit of Zulu and Afrikaans, but only enough to like say hello and thank you and things like that.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I went to Africa, but I went to Tanzania and Kenya last year.
Oh, I want to go there so bad.
It was wonderful. The people were great. And yeah, we'll have to talk later.
Okay.
And now you and I were talking, and I think your audience would be interested to know you do a lot of traveling. You love to travel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you just want to quickly tell us some of the countries you've been to?
Sure. Well, in my family, so growing up, my family traveled a little bit. We were expats for a couple of years in Holland, and this was in 1985 to 1987. Mm-hmm. So I was really little, but that sort of instilled the travel bug for me and my sisters as well. My little sister was actually born while we were there in Holland.
Wow.
So by the time I was a kid, I'd already seen most of Europe, and I'd also, bragging rights, I had seen the USSR, been to the Soviet Union.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, my family did a road trip from Holland all the way to St. Petersburg. So we went through, you know, Holland. We went through East and West Germany. So yeah, I've got some bragging rights there. I've been to countries that no longer exist. So more recently, in college, I did a study abroad in France. And I was really hoping that I would go to a French-speaking mission. And was really sad when my mission was English speaking, but I did get to work a lot with Central African refugees. So I got to practice my French a little bit on my mission as well. Then after we got married, we saved up for a year and then went backpacking for about 6 months. And we were traveling to countries in South America and Africa and the Middle East, and then ended our trip in Eastern Europe and Europe. And then we were broke, so we came home and didn't want to still stay home. So we found jobs teaching English at a private kindergarten in near Seoul, South Korea. So then we moved to South Korea and spent the rest of the year there. So for 2009, we were out of the country basically the whole year, and it was awesome, and it shaped our relationship, and it shaped our way of solving problems and interacting with each other. All we had was one backpack each, and so you really can't, you know, all you have is each other, literally.
Yes. So
it was great, and I highly recommend the experience, to especially when you're younger, single or married, just to go and see the world. And I know in other countries outside the U.S., taking a gap year is fairly normal, and doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I wish we could make that more of a cultural standard here.
I know, right? Katie was saying that Katie said, oh, I think everyone should either immediately jump into marital counseling as soon as they get married, or travel for a year. Either way, you're going to end up closer.
Exactly. Yeah. The results are the same, but one's more fun, I think.
Probably, yeah, I would say. So it sounds like you've had a feminist background in your growing up, and that you were shaped that way. It's interesting to hear some people come from that background and join Ordained Women, and Ordained Women actually helps them retain activity in the church. People probably like me who never identified or thought they identified with feminism, and then found that they actually did, and that this actually did coincide with what they thought, then joined Ordained Women. So I can see why you would join it, but tell us a little bit more about why you did and when you posted your profile on ordainedwomen.org.
Sure. Kimberly Brinkerhoff is a friend of mine, and when they were putting together the website, she contacted me and asked me to put my profile up for the launch of the website. So I'm a proud early Ordained Women member. So I sent mine in right away. And to be honest, I didn't think about very much about what to put in my profile. But what I did put was, the example of my mom, who, she passed away. But before she passed away, she wrote me a matriarchal blessing. And it's one of the most beautiful and most sacred things that I own. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the things that she wants for me. And I give that such huge weight in the library of the spiritual blessings that I've received. I have no doubt that her priesthood authority was real, and that someday it'll be institutionally recognized and acknowledged, that women already have the authority, and they are called to the work, just as men are today, and just as women in the past have been. So that's kind of where I came from. And like I said, supporting women and supporting the ordination of women is something that's not a recent thing for me. I've always thought women should have the priesthood. I remember coming home from seminary, release time seminary in high school, because I was going to school in Orem, Utah. And I came home and I asked my dad, "Dad, do you think women should have a priesthood?" And he said, "Yeah, of course." And I said, "Okay, Good, me too. So that's like the extent of the dramatic, you know, epiphany that wow. I had that went into the change. It was just sort of like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. And so I'm just excited about the fact that going from something that was mostly existed in the theoretical is finally becoming something that we talk about more. Mm-hmm. And it's thanks to the agitation and the just the relentless and prayerful pursuit of this issue from ordained women and its leaders. So I'm really excited to be part of it. It's something that already fit my my understanding of the gospel like a glove.
Wow. So it sounds like you have some family support. What other responses have you had since being involved in ordained women and posting your profile?
It's been cool. So mostly the response has been positive. You know, my whole side of the family is on board. But, you know, my in-laws are definitely more, I think, your traditional conservative Mormons. And right around the priesthood action, my mother-in-law called me and was very concerned that I had, you know, publicly supported ordaining women. And she had a lot of questions for me, but was very respectful, especially when I responded, like, lovingly. Mm-hmm. And we had a great conversation, and I told her, you know, I feel like this is a prayer. This whole pursuit is a prayer. And in the Bible dictionary, it says that some prayers are answered right away, but others, it's not about changing the will of God. It's about securing blessings for ourselves that God is already willing to give us, but are conditional upon us asking for them. And I feel like that this applies. And I told her that, and that really, like, she said, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. She still doesn't agree, but she respects where I'm coming from. So that was good. Mm-hmm. It was a win right yeah. there. And I've had people reach out to me for my mission saying, wow, this is interesting. Tell me more. And it's been overwhelmingly positive. I've had a couple of, you know, negative call to repentance messages, but mm-hmm. they're outnumbered at this point still by the positive messages.
That's wonderful. So what kind of vision do you have? You've been involved with this since the beginning of it. Clearly you see something that you want to help bring about in the church, in our culture. What is it that you see?
I don't know what it'll look like. I honestly don't. I mean, right now, the structure and theology of the church is very gendered. And I don't know what it'll look like. Maybe there will be like a phasing in of certain, you know, baby steps, with women taking more leadership responsibility where priesthood isn't necessarily required. Mm-hmm. But I do think it'll eventually happen. And I just have no idea what it will look like. Mm-hmm. I hope to get to the point where culturally as Mormons and just, you know, in regular secular culture, we aren't so threatened by the idea of a woman with authority. Mm-hmm. And if we can get to that point, I think that'll go a long way. One of the messages I get a lot is like, so you want there to be like a woman prophet or a woman bishop? Like, and they say it like it's the strangest thing they've ever thought about. Mm. I said, yeah, there can be a woman president. There can be a woman senator. There can be a woman CEO. Like, we're getting more and more used to the idea of women having authority and power. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that image will start to become more normal within our church culture too. I hope.
Right. Is there anything else, Katie, that you would want to say regarding this experience or to anyone listening?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just want to bear my testimony of ordained women and that I felt closer to God and I've felt more spiritual confirmation since I supported in a very small and passive way this movement than I have ever before. And it's the anchor that's keeping me close to my people in the Mormon church. And it's it just fills me with optimism. And I love my ordained women, sisters, and brothers. And I just know that this is the way forward for me, and I think we'll be successful.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for sharing that. And if anyone listening is interested in leaving their profile on Ordained Women, we will have a link there. We appreciate you taking your time to share your story with us, Katie.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.